No, I think we are all encouraged by the fact that all the vaccination research is working so well. So it may be a real thing even for maybe some health personnel before Christmas. That would be really encouraging, I think, for everyone to sort of maintain the discipline the first month of the new year.
No, yeah, you're right. And it's also necessary to give the perspective. That's really important. I think that are also good news for the countries which are really concerned, because I hear from some countries that the possibilities to hospitalize the people are not only limited, they are despaired. They are really despaired because people cannot any longer treat it in the hospitals because they are out of the limit. That's really a very, very difficult situation. Well, I hear that we have now 50 participants in our meeting, if I'm right informed. And yes, we have 4 o'clock, and Ms. Vestager, you are fully prepared, I think so. And so then I would propose to start. And first of all, I want to excuse Mr. Wolf, my co-chair, because he's sitting in a traffic jam at the moment. And warm greetings also from the Bundesrat, because we are doing it together. And also for my colleagues, which are joining now, they know that we have not times as normal. So normally we have a COSAC chairperson's meeting and the plenary meeting of the COSAC. And but due to the pandemic crisis, it's difficult also to organize a plenary COSAC like we are used to have it. And so we decided here, and it was my proposal, to organize also meetings to topics which are really interesting and should be deepened normally in a COSAC meeting. But, well, I think it's better than nothing that we can do it now. And now also officially, Mrs. Vestager, dear Ms. Weiss, President of the European Commission, we appreciate very much that you found the time to join this meeting, and so that we can discuss about competition and the newest proposals also from the European Commission, because competition is a core issue of the European Union. Because, let me say, it's a core issue because people feel if some things are really justified or not. It has a lot to do with the rule of law. And let me say, it's not only that two companies can make a fusion and can go together. That's not only the question. But when I look do we really have a fair competition looking now on digital companies, which we find normally in the US, like Amazon, like Google? We discussed about the taxation, especially France made a proposal when we had to observe that all our efforts could not reach the goal and could not achieve a process which we desired in European Union. But let me say, I would also like to deepen issues like subsidies coming from third states to companies, which are, let me say, openly threatening European companies which have to respect the law and the rules. So a lot of different topics. And Mrs. Commissioner, Mrs. Vice President, please feel free to emphasize everything you want, because we would really appreciate a statement or some introductional remarks. And then we would like to start with a discussion. And I want to also to encourage my colleagues to take the floor. You have the possibility to raise up your hand in the video conference, and also my staff will observe it, because I will not be able to observe all now in this situation. But anyway, please feel free also to take the floor. And now, Mrs. Vice President, thank you very much, and the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much, dear chairs. I am very happy that we have this opportunity I have been looking forward to meeting you in person. I think one of the things that at least I have learned again after all these weeks of video meetings is that nothing can ever replace what you learn from meeting one another. And I think it is vital that our cooperation works well. If we are to serve citizens in the best possible way, no matter where we are placed in our democracy, then it's very important that we meet and we get to discuss. It is really very difficult times. The second wave of COVID-19 is hitting very hard all over Europe right now. I think many people here, they are between COVID fatigue and a very severe worry about their health, but also about their future and their jobs and livelihoods. The economic forecast is indeed not promising, and the effect of the crisis may stay here for quite a long time, also after we have a vaccine and we have good treatment. So the stakes are high, and it is important to show citizens that we do our best to work together on solutions that enable us to come out of this crisis. The actions should include, of course, sort of in the here and now, ensure the supply of medical equipment, also increase production in Europe and joint procurement, so it is readily available when we need it. That we issue guidelines on measures to stop the spread of the virus and testing strategies in order for people to see that there is a coherent approach all over Europe in order to get out of the pandemic, that we support research on vaccines, diagnostics, treatments, and last but not least, that we fight disinformation, not differences in opinion, but disinformation, so that people know what's the information that you can have backed by facts. And since March, mid-March, the Commission has adopted more than 1,000 decisions and other legislative and non-legislative acts. And this includes a lot of state aid decision. I think by now it is 464 state aid decision and guidelines to member states. We opened within a week when the crisis started back in March, the temporary framework. And this is obviously to enable member states to support businesses who have damages, who are suffering from lockdowns and restrictions, while at the same time protecting the single market. Because the single market is the most fundamental asset that we have also when we get to the recovery. A strong, fast recovery entails that we have a fully functioning single market. And this is, of course, why we are very careful, on the one hand side, to help as much as possible to enable member states to help businesses, while at the same time that we do the same thing so that the single market is still there. The latest news on the temporary framework is that we prolonged it till mid next year for liquidity until end September when it comes to recapitalization. And we have included or added a possibility to support uncovered fixed costs. And we see now already that a number of member states, they are using these new facilities. Also because as we speak, things are getting more serious in the region. At the same time, and I think this is very important, and every one of you will know this firsthand, we all have a responsibility not only to manage the here and now crisis, but also to look forward, because then we have a steer for our actions. And this is what we have been doing with the European Recovery Plan. That is sort of the big picture perspective. We can only come out of the crisis if we digitalize, and this is why 20% of the funds under the Recovery and Resilience Facility is for digitization. On top of that, 37% is for the greening, because the point is, of course, that we handle the crisis here and now. We look forward for the recovery, but we want to give the recovery a strategic aim. And we have strategies. We have to be. We want to be climate neutral by 2050, and we want to make the best use of digital technology. And in that process, create more resilient economies, more resilient societies for citizens to live in. Focusing maybe a bit on the digital side of things, we have to secure a critical mass of investment for digital capacities and infrastructure, using public funds to unlock a private investment. Because no matter how much money we would have in public funds for the recovery and for investment, we will not get to our strategic targets of digitization and greening the economy without also crowding in private investment. So very important. And the second thing is that we will get nowhere if people don't know how to deal with digitization. I think it's still so that 4 out of 10 lack sort of basic digital skills. And as we speak, there are still hundreds of thousands of open positions when it comes to the high level ICT professionals. So it's really important for us. We put an emphasis on supporting the development of digital skills for everyone from the very basic level to the absolute top. Because this is what it takes for humans, for us to be able to control the development, that we actually know how to handle it. We also, in that process, should modernize public administration and services to provide better services and fast services for citizens. The future European digital identity will help us to identify ourselves securely, to access a variety of not only public, but also a private and cross-border digital services. And it will boost the digitization of both the public and the private sector. A prerequisite, sometimes is English language. Well, anyway, it's needed in order to reach our digital goals, that citizens feel secure in taking up digital tools, both, of course, as set with skills, but also when it comes to cybersecurity. I think everyone has heard stories about people being put to blackmail, people having their data stolen, businesses having their data locked, being threatened to pay a ransom. It is very important, both when it comes to our infrastructure, that it is secure, but also that we have a more sort of coherent approach to cybersecurity as such, also because many of the threats that we see from the world around us, they are hybrid in nature, and they tend to lean on being digital in nature. We see that quite a lot. You probably remember from spring, we had these stories about hackers attacking hospitals that were indeed under big strain. And actually here in autumn, we also see quite a lot of very damaging things. So the second and the last thing in that, of course, is to have a capital market that really works. Europe is a very innovative continent. We have plenty of entrepreneurs, plenty of people who want to create new businesses. They really need a better working capital market so that they don't always have to go to the bank, but can go to a capital market that comes with capital and competence in the same go. The thing is that no matter what we do with public funds, private funds, the driver we need should come from competition. And actually, the chances that we get a fast and strong recovery, that chance is increased if we maintain and insist that we need vigilant competition law enforcement. Because this is what provides the driver to use both public and private funds in the best possible way. And I think that there are things that we can learn both here, but also when it comes to the global competitive landscape from the last months. We will indeed, of course, look at our industrial strategy, but we will look at it still with these eyes of we all need a challenge. And of course, industry will need that as well, both to green, but also to be globally competitive. Our work is indeed not all about the recovery, because making best use of digital technologies is also for our society to sort of catch up by setting the direction. The direction of our society should not be set in boardrooms. They should not be set in states where they have a very different systemic approach to how a country should be governed. They should be set by us. And this is why we are pushing for legislation that will be presented shortly, both on how to govern data, if you want to share it, also when it's sensitive data, to make sure that it's shared in a safe way. And second, how to make sure that digital services, when they are provided, that they are provided in a certain manner so that there is accountability and responsibility on the service providers to make sure that we do not have illegal things presented to us. That can be incitement to terrorism, that can be bomb recipes, that can be products that are dangerous. But also that we make sure that the digital marketplace works in such a way that those who are successful, those who grow in power, that they also grow in responsibility. So that when you're within scope of what we now call the Digital Markets Act, well, then there are a number of do's and a number of don'ts in order for us to have a level playing field. And that is catching up by our democracy in order to shape this. And this is urgent. It may be for the future, but it's still urgent that we do that, because it must be so that it is our legislature who forms and shapes the direction that we take, and then for the businesses to compete within that direction. Otherwise, I think citizens would say that we will not live up to the promises that we have given. And that, I think, is one of the things that we all share. This is our daily strive. So thank you very much for allowing me this introduction. I look very, very much forward to our debate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Vestager, for this really interesting overview. And I have a couple of questions now, and colleagues who want to take the floor. And also, once again, a warmly welcome to our video conference. First, Sabine Tilaye from France wants to take the floor. Sabine, can you hear me? We tried. Sabine Tilaye? Ah, yeah. But don't forget to switch on the micro.
Switch, but it's
not... Il est nécessaire d'utiliser le micro.
Oui. Est-ce que ça marche maintenant?
Oui, ça marche.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mrs. Vice President. The European Affairs Committee of the French Assembly is closely following the work on the modernization of the European competition framework. I like to remind us some proposals that our committee is defending. Better take into account potential competition in the analysis by extending the time frame currently limited to 2 years. Factor in the public financial support which companies in third-party countries benefit from. In this regard, we support the proposals of the White Paper of June 2020. Consider in greater depth the efficiency gains and possible benefits for the industrial competitiveness of the Union associated with the concentration of interest, and favor behavioral remedies which are flexible and reversible compared with structural remedies. When examining files, ensure that DG Comp works with other DGs to consider all the stakes, economic, strategic, environmental, linked to a concentration of activity or to a merger projects. Alors, j'ai, excuse me, some questions on competition law I'd like to raise also. On the framework of exceptional state aid, could new imbalances appear in the internal market due to exceptional public spending by certain states whose economy is otherwise relatively solid. And you announced that temporary state aid authorizations to support businesses in difficulty due to the epidemic would be lifted before the end of the year. How can national economies be sustained next year if we go back to the previous framework? On a more lasting reform of the state aid regime, will the new strategic priorities promote energy transition and the maintenance in Europe of a cutting-edge high-tech industry? And perhaps we need to create a research and innovation task force in Europe. And I think we need also, you were speaking about digital technology, and I think we really need a European cloud. How can we promote it? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sabine. And I would propose to collect our speakers together. And once again, I want also to emphasize that we have a limited time from 1:30, but we will try it. Next speaker will be Dario Stefano from Italy, and afterwards Anneli Ott from Estonia. Now it's Italy. Dario. Can Italy hear me? Otherwise, I would suggest to go to Estonia, and afterwards we can try it again with Dario Stefano. Anneli Ott, can you hear us?
Yes, greetings from Estonia. Thank you.
Then go ahead. Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, Madam Vice President, for your thorough presentation. The COVID-19 pandemic has clearly shown us that the public services in Estonia function smoothly in such a crisis with the use of e-government and digital solutions. In Estonia, we have well-functioning e-government services thanks to the highly reliable, secure and widely used electronic identity. It is very important that we invest in and develop public electronic services across the European Union. A well-functioning digital single market has a huge potential for the EU. In order to be globally competitive, we need digital cross-border cooperation. That is why Estonia welcomes the revision of the EIDAS regulation and the idea that all member states should provide their residents with a highly reliability electronic identity. This will enable us to create a real European Union digital single market. It will create many new opportunities for European enterprises and will contribute to economy recovery. Therefore, we will need to ensure that the RRF and the MFF have enough funding for e-government investments. Thank you for your attention and best regards with lots of health to us all.
My proposal now to Dario Stefano, if you can hear us and you want to take the floor, then once again, use the chat room. And then we can see if you want to take the floor. Then it's Christian Buchmann from Austria. And after Christian, it will be Danuta Jaswowiecka. Sorry. Christian.
Greetings. From Austria, first of all, I would like to thank Vice President Vestager for her strategic and future-oriented remarks. And I would also like to congratulate the German presidency, you, Gunther, and your team for organizing this format of exchange. I really do believe scope and priorities of the Commission's industrial strategy go into the right direction. By making European industry more digital, green and competitive, we will make sure that it stays the backbone of our economy. One of the major challenges of the industrial strategy, as I see it, is to counteract climate change and at the same time to safeguard jobs in our countries and in Europe. The aim must be to be worked towards a clean industry where people find employment through digitization and innovation, as Madam Vice President already mentioned. In light of the ongoing health crisis, which threatens to affect Europe's economy harder than initially expected. I would also like to point out that European industrial policy must be seen and defined in the context of the crisis and the subsequent process of reconstruction. Therefore, the industrial strategy should be renewed in the first half of 21, taking into account the lessons learned from the COVID-19 experiences. One aspect where I see room for improvement of the industrial strategy is a need for a greater focus on strategic, sustainable, and diversified supply chains aiming at greater economic, environmental, and digital resilience. The crisis also revealed the fragility of global supply chains, which have been seriously disrupted due to travel restrictions, lockdowns, and other restrictive measures. Reliance on geographically distant supply chains also proved to be a major vulnerability in the light of the medical equipment crisis. So, Madam Vice President, I am especially interested in your plans concerning change. Maybe you give us some prospects. What are the plans of the Commission in this subject? Thanks very much for listening.
And now Danuta Jazwowiecka from the Polish Senate. Danuta, please. And afterwards, it will be Dieter Charantsova from the European Parliament. Danuta, we can't hear you. Don't forget to switch on the micro. Unfortunately, we can't hear Danuta. Then once again, I tried with Dario Stefano. No, it remains mute. And Dieter Charantsova, can you hear us?
Non si sente. Ancora non si...
Ah.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear the Italian? Good afternoon, colleagues. I share what was said by Commissioner Vestager. The European Commission is guaranteeing full flexibility in the application of the rules on state aid to member states with the temporary framework. In a situation of the pandemic crisis, this is very important. It was not something which was a foregone conclusion, and I think that the Commission has chosen a far-sighted solution. The fourth change of the 13th of October extended this more flexible rules to the 30th of June 2021, whereas recapitulation measures are extended till the 30th of September 2021. In this connection, one thing I would like to point out concerns the time frame. It would be important to ensure companies to be able to plan their activity for the whole of 2021, so it would be positive to extend the temporary framework system till the 31st of December 2021. And the second point I'd like to stress concerns trade relations with third countries. For the United Kingdom, we trust that after its departure from the European Union, equal opportunities for European companies will continue to be applied, avoiding inappropriate dumping activities damaging European products. With regard to China, we need to reason in a EU view and not in isolation. It's important to develop forms of cooperation where we can ensure an effective application of the competition rules. And in this context, it's necessary for the European Union to make its political weight and economic weight felt, particularly thanks to the single market. I also want to ask Vice President Vesterhage, where, if there are any updates on extensions on guarantee measures for the steel sector in order to protect European production, which is damaged by worldwide overproduction. One final point. A number of people are speaking of taxation of digital gatekeepers. Be possible to establish a decisive point with the decision on own resources, which has been concluded in these days, and possibly with the presentation on the part of the Commission for a proposal for the taxation of digital service. But it's clear that major digital operators, I'm referring to actors like Amazon, can have a major impact on the real economy, and small operators who don't have the economy of scale of these operators find it difficult to compete and struggle a great deal, particularly in this period of pandemic. Are you thinking of more effective rules to protect our SMEs from the competition of these commercial giants? Thank you for your attention, Commissioner. Thank you, all colleagues.
Thank you very much, Dario. Thanks a lot. And I will make another try. I want to make another try with Danuta Jazul-Wiecka. Perhaps it works now. No, I don't think so. Then Dieter. Dieter Charantova?
Thank you very much, Dieter, and thank you to all of you, especially the German president, for the fact that you managed to keep us all together, also in these very challenging circumstances and conditions. Margaret, I will have a lot of opportunities to talk to you directly on many issues that you have just mentioned, so I will be very brief so the members of the national parliament have an opportunity to express themselves. Just to follow up on what you said, I would like to underline that the European Parliament has been a very active and constructive player in the decision-making process, both on the new recovery plan but also the financial framework, and it was thanks to the European Parliament that we managed some significant increases in the budget from the health to the support of research and development in Europe, but also to the digital field, which is very close to your heart and which is very close to my heart too. So let me very quickly focus on the Digital Market Act, which you will present. There is a lot of discussion around these two files, both the Digital Market and Digital Services Act. On the Digital Market Act, which mixes both competition policy but also internal market tools. So how can you make sure that the competition policy stays politically neutral at the end? And on the Digital Services Act, I think it would be interesting for all of us to hear how you foresee more cooperation and enforcement between the member states. Thank you very much.
Of the communication was not the very best one, but I heard about some troubles Vodafone had this afternoon. But anyway, if not the case, Mrs. Vestager would propose to ask otherwise once again. Then from Greece, Mangsos Volodakis, and afterwards it will be Gabriela Crețu from the Romanian Senate. Mangsos, from Greece, it's up to you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Top, yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner, for the for your intervention and the colleagues. Being open to trade must not come at the cost of accepting dumping or unfair competition. These are words from a recent speech of yours, dear Commissioner, and I suppose that we, all of us, fully agree. Nevertheless, our companies are being faced with such unfair competition from abroad, even from countries with customs union agreements with the EU, such as Turkey. Two instances. Last year, President Erdogan announced a program of $33 billion US dollars in grants and loans for Turkish businesses or businesses investing in Turkey. Has the Commission examined whether these were distributed in accordance to the EU state aid rules? Second, Turkey has set up a sovereign wealth fund. According to the fund itself, it signed last March a memorandum of understanding with China's Sinosure to provide insurance support of up to $5 billion for financing activities. Is this being followed by DGCOM for its compliance to state aid rules? The Commission itself, in its 2020 report on Turkey, acknowledged there is a continued lack of state aid implementation rules in Turkey. I personally greatly admire the work you do in the field of competition, dear Commissioner, both regarding legislation and its implementation. But on the issue of the customs union violations by Turkey, I feel the Commission is turning a blind eye. What is the view? What is your view on this? Will the Commission continue being lenient, to put it mildly, towards Turkey as far as the implementation of customs union prerequisites go? Thank you.
Manousis, thank you very much for your questions. And I heard that Mrs. Kretzow had to leave a little bit earlier. And then it's up to Ria Oomen-Ruijten from the Senate of Netherlands. And afterwards, it's up to Belgium, Karin Brouwers. But first, Netherlands, please.
Yes, can you
hear me? Ria, we can hear you. Yes, we can hear you, Ria.
Okay. Let me first start thanking Commissioner Vestager for her willingness to be with us. Second, I would like to thank you, Günther. You managed to have us on several subjects, and that's a great job you did. And also thanks for the nice small presents we got from the German presidency. I will be short. Some of the remarks already made or questions already made, I won't repeat. I have some, I think three. Commissioner Vestager spoke about the recovery plan and also the backbone in it, digitalization and greening. I absolutely agree to that. But what worries me is how can she enforce and control that it also will happen in member states? That would be my first question. Then I heard to say, Commissioner, that you wanted to come up with new production guidelines for medical equipment. I was long years in the European Parliament, so I asked myself, what more, as we already have in directive, in regulations on medicines, on medical equipment, would you try to enforce? And then the third question is, it's already touched a bit. We expect in the next days, we expect hopeful and a positive outcome in the Brexit negotiations of Michel. Can you see already, because you have more in-depth information as we have, what it means if there comes an agreement on the level playing field, on the competition for the European business or European fisheries with the British ones? Is there always an eye on that? Thank you very much.
Ria, thanks a lot also for your questions. And sorry about it now. And also for the questions and that you appreciated these meetings. Now it's Karin Brouwers from the Senate, please. Karin, you can hear us?
Okay. Thank you very much, Mrs. Vice President and Mr. President of this meeting. As a senator of Flanders and as a city councillor of Leuven, the European capital of innovation since September, I would like to emphasize the importance of having a real European data cloud. To begin with, the data of our universities and knowledge institutions. It is very good that there will be a European data cloud for open science, not in the least to give the European economy a head start. In this respect, storage technology is a very important tool. The various European countries undoubtedly have a different approach, tradition, and vision in this respect. And the implementation of a European vision and approach to open science is therefore needed. In what way will the EU encourage the member states and scientific institutions to invest in this matter? Are good practices on data management collected and shared? Are international standards for metadata being sought? And my key point is everything starts with the researcher and the policy of the institutions and research groups. Storage must be tailored to the needs of the institutions and the specificity of the data. For good storage and reuse, conclusive agreements on metadata are crucial. In order to implement this vision and approach, it will be necessary to invest in people to motivate and guide researchers all over Europe in the storage of research data. Therefore, we need so-called data stewards. These data stewards are required on a decentralized basis, closely training, supporting, and motivating researchers, but they also will be needed to contribute to the central coordination on the basis of their domain-specific expertise. And my question is, what is the EU's vision on this? And does the EU see a task here too? Thank you very much.
Karin, thanks a lot. And now it's Mrs. Satu Hassi from Finland.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the German presidency for arranging this COVID type of COSAC meeting and series of meetings. And thanks a lot also for Vice President Vestager for the introduction. I think that the COVID pandemic has taught us that the risk that can look very small in the beginning can turn a massive crisis. And with climate change, that is true even in a bigger, much bigger scale. I was delighted that Vice President Vestager mentioned EU carbon neutrality 2050 target. And I think that this should be one of the guiding principles of all EU policies, including competitiveness policy and competition policy. It should be a guiding principle in state aid rules, public procurement rules, and all policies linked to competition. And also, digitalization can be an important part of moving towards carbon neutral circular economy, like smart power grid, smart heating, smart lighting, smart cooling, etc. And we have to ensure that the digital market is not just for a couple of huge international players, but also for smaller and medium-sized enterprises, and that business moving to the web must not mean a business moving outside taxation. Thank you very much.
Satu, thank you very much to you. And once again, I want to make a try with Danuta. Danuta, I heard you are in the line. You can join the meeting, but perhaps for technical reasons, it's not possible to take the floor. But you can chat the question. So use the chat if you want, and then it will work. Or
so I can take a floor.
Now it works. Now.
I'm sorry.
The floor is yours.
I'm sorry, I couldn't answer. I couldn't take a floor earlier because I'm on the way to the airport. I'm very sorry for it. And please let me apologize for Polish government, apologize whole European society for today managing our country and trying to find some arguments to veto to European budget and also recovery program. I'm sorry for it. I hope our government will change the mind and will vote for it. When Poland started to started the way of integration, very often people were asking me what Polish people can give to European Union. My answer was young, very smart and very creative people, Polish people. And this is true. Today, these young, very smart Polish and creative people, they very interested of program of changing climate, protecting climate. So I wonder how Commission will manage this program during pandemic and also after pandemic time, because I think this is very important for us and also during this very hard time for Europe, for the whole world, is very difficult to manage it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Danuta. And I have another two speakers who want to take the floor. That's Jean Rapin from the French Senate, and afterwards Sergio Battelli from Italy. Jean-François Rapin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Vice President, dear colleagues, the European Affairs Committee of the French Senate strongly supports the need of for the modernization of European competition policy. The committee has sent a political opinion to the European Commission last July, insisting on the need to take into account an increasingly complex, globalized and digitalized economic environment. Let me precise that we can make this document available to all of you in English, German and French. We received a particularly documented response from the Commission in October, for which I want to thank you, Madam Vice President. However, I would like to stress some decisive points to which your answer does not provide a sufficiently effective response. Firstly, the need for a renewed approach to the relevant market for merger control based on in-depth and regularly updated sector analyses, taking into account potential future competition. Although the Commission has reaffirmed its position in favor of structural remedies, this control should include corrective measures so as not to force the disposal of critical assets to non-European competitors. This approach is in fact consistent with the need to support a strong European industrial strategy. Secondly, more flexibility is needed in the implementation of European competition law, especially quick and adjustable responses so that anti-competitive practices and abuses of a dominant position do not persist for years with the risk of killing the competition. Thirdly, the specificities of the digital economy should be taken into account, in particular the existence of structuring platforms acting as gatekeepers. Existing and potential anti-competitive situations should be identified so as to react quickly and effectively using appropriate ex ante and ex post tools. And last but not least, the European state aid regime must take into account the economic consequences of the health crisis even after June 21 in an international context in which many non-European countries free themselves from all limits, trampling the foundation of a minimal level playing field. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Monsieur Rapin. Et parce que c'est la première fois que vous participez ici à la COSAC, félicitations à cette nouvelle responsabilité parce que vous, vous êtes le successeur de Jean Bizet. Et j'aimerais offrir une coopération confidentielle à vous et à la prochaine à Paris.
Merci, Monsieur le Président, et à bientôt.
À bientôt à Paris. I only wanted to congratulate Mr. Rapin because it's the very first time that he is joining here the COSAC conference, and he succeeded to Jean Bizet, who we know very well. Sergio Battelli for Italy.
Hello, Gunther. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, very good. First of all, I'd like to thank President Clickham for having organized this series of meetings, excellent opportunities for discussion, which I think are essential. At this time, I'd like to thank Commissioner Vestager as well. The epidemic is having a major effect on the economic and social situation of the European Union, and it's unreal to think that once we have the vaccine, since we can exit from this situation without any trouble, we need to have an original creative effort to find an approach which can reverse the situation. We need to adopt new paradigms, update European regulations. In this context, rules to protect market competition, which showed themselves to be essential for growth, ensuring major opportunities for development and intensification of trade, have to be subjected to an action of restyling. There's not much point to limit the growth prospects of European companies who have to face the global competition of giants who move outside any rules and often with a favorable tax treatment. We have to rethink our policies and our rules promoting the construction not just of national champions but European champions who can channel resources and energies. Operators in a number of areas should we should establish partnerships between companies, research centres and universities. Furthermore, we need to avoid the differences of treatment inside the European Union with the risk of deepening the gaps between countries with between countries which have considerable funds available and other which have tight expenditure. Therefore, we have to maintain production and manufacturing in Europe marked by high quality and knowledge, know-how technology. Thank you very much.
Sergio, thanks a lot. And I also want to take the opportunity, because you made the proposal to continue the dialogue of rule of law when we had the last meeting with Didier Reinders, and also for your colleagues. I think it is an excellent proposal, because each year when the report will be published by the European Commission about rule of law, about the state of play of rule of law in European Union, we should establish what we started now from the national parliaments, this kind of dialogue with the Commissioner for Justice, with Didier Reinders, and only to announce it now, because I think it was an excellent proposal, and let's do it. So, thank you very much. I don't have any requests of colleagues who want to take the floor. Then let me close also the speakers list. And now it's up to our Vice President of the European Commission, Mrs. Vestager. You saw there are a lot of different questions, and now it's your difficult job to tie together, and the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the engagement and also the broad scope of the remarks. It is it's indeed enlightening for me, because it gives me a sense of your discussions and how you see the things that we're dealing with. Let me start sort of on the note of Sabine Delay. on the question of competition and how we do, for instance, mergers. The first thing that happens in a merger investigation is that market participants in that market are being asked, is there somewhere else that you can go if the merging parties have higher prices, reduce their quality, stop innovating? And as long as there is someone else that customers can go to, well, then the market keep expanding. When people say, no, it doesn't really work because other suppliers don't have the same quality or the products cannot substitute the ones I would usually need to buy, well, then that defines the market. In more and more circumstance, the market is Europe-wide, sort of the EEA marketplace, or it's global. That is now the case in more than 65% of cases. And then, of course, we have the exceptions where we still have national markets. That goes in a number of the media sectors, telco, unfortunately, also because of regulatory barriers. But it's really not us who defines the market. It is the economic circumstances that defines the market dynamics. The next thing, of course, is that we indeed look at potential competition. Because what we need is, of course, to try to foresee how will the merging parties be in this marketplace. And here we definitely do not only look 2 years ahead. If these are markets, for instance, bidding markets, where it takes a long time for orders to be tendered out, for them to be accomplished, well, for instance, in some of the train cases, we've been looking 5 to 10 years ahead in order to get a real sense of how the global markets will indeed develop. What happens if we then have a problem? Well, sometimes the problem is an overlap. The two businesses, they basically produce the same thing in part of their product portfolio. And here, obviously, there is a high risk that they will discontinue one of these products. And when that product disappears, well, then competition disappears. And these are the situation where we ask for a solution. Because here the risk of consumer harm is very, very big. It can also be a customer downstream, someone who relies on competition for their inputs in order for themselves to be competitive. And it's in these situations that companies very often suggest a divestiture. And here, for us, the important thing is, of course, that the divested assets, that they are viable. We have no need of divested assets that go down, where jobs disappear, where the company will no longer compete. We, of course, in the interest of competition, need for the divested assets actually to be viable, to be assets that will produce competition towards emerging parties again. And this, of course, is the important thing. And this is why there sometimes is some back and forth, because obviously it happens that the merging parties, they want to sell off something that they agreed to close anyway, because they don't think that it's had the sufficient quality. We can also do behavioral remedies, and we indeed do that once in a while if things are very complicated to untangle. It very often becomes very complicated because once we have a suggested solution from the merging parties, well, then again, we test in the marketplace. We ask competitors, we ask customers, how do you see this? And in a behavioral remedy situation, well, very often there needs to be a trustee. It's only for a limited period of time. So basically, the merging parties will still need to have someone hanging over their shoulders for quite a long period of time. And this is, of course, why we have a preference for the more structural remedies. But that being said, we sometimes have quite a mix and match, as we had in a merger in Poland very recently, PKN, Orlins, Lotos, that merged indeed to create quite a big company in the area of energy, that be oil, gasoline, and so forth. Here we have a mixture of both structural and behavioral remedies. On the entire merger work, we are now looking as to whether we should revise the notice of market definition so that people can see how we do it. And we are in the process of getting the feedback, because obviously we serve the same fundamental mission to make sure that we have competition so that end consumers and customers in the value chain have innovation, choice, affordable prices to pay. But we need to make sure that our tools are up to date. And this is one of the reasons why we're looking into whether or not the notice of how markets are defined, if that works well enough. Then on the temporary framework, we have indeed prolonged it till mid next year and for recapitalization until end of September next year. Before we can get to the arch, we will see if we need another prolongation or if we more need sort of a recovery framework rather than a temporary framework. And the important thing for us here is that we maintain the speed in decision making, because of course we hope that we eventually will have a recovery and resilience fund in order for member states to restart the economies and to do that with a strategic approach. So what we are working on right now is sort of guidance that will either enable member states to make projects that are basically no aid, so that the Commission has no need to get into the project because it is well defined, it is no aid. If there is an aid element, that it can be dealt with within the general block exemption regulation. Here, basically, there is a recipe as to how to do a budget so that the state aid given is not damaging to competition. And also here, you don't need a notification. You can just go ahead. And that, of course, saves a lot of time. Last but not least, if it is aid, if it is a bit more complicated than what can be in the general block exemption regulation, well, then we do templates for some of the flagships that we are promoting. That can be charging stations for electrical vehicles, that can be charging infrastructure for hydrogen, that can be connectivity, so that you have a template that will allow you to make a notification and enable us to approve that very fast. Because obviously a recovery is something that you need to have happen once the economy is ready for it. So this is very important, but that doesn't change the fact that we, of course, if the situation still shows the need for a temporary framework, obviously we will be open to the discussions about prolonging that as well. When it comes to the many state aid reforms that we are doing right now, because we are basically reviewing most of our state aid guidelines. We just finalized the guidelines for the support of businesses who has the risk of carbon leakage and very little potential for energy savings, but still have to pay a lot for their emission trading, emission outlets, in order for that to follow the next auction period. We're in the process of revising the energy and environmental guidelines, the regional aid guidelines as well. When it comes to green and to the support of the green transition, I have launched a European debate. We will have a conference in February next year, and I would very much hope that you would engage in this debate. How can competition rules, or how should competition rules, be part of the green transition? Obviously, as a subcontractor. Competition rules will not solve the green transition, but maybe there's something that we can do to help. Some of the questions are quite tricky. For instance, if businesses in one market do something to serve the green transition and puts a burden on the consumers here, can that be balanced if it's good for consumers out of this market, who are not at all influenced by the burdens that the businesses put on their customers, but who benefits from the improvements of, for instance, the environment? That kind of discussions, I find it very important that we have transparency about this in order to make the best possible decisions. I would like to emphasize on digitization on Annelies' questions that it's very, very inspiring to see the good experience from Estonia, to see how not only a lot of services are available in a digital manner, but also that they are secure and that people are very comfortable and they find it easy to use. Because if a digital identity is not easy to use, well, then you don't use it. Then it's just something that maybe when you should do your tax returns once per year. But it's easy to use and you sort of feel, well, this is my identity. Well, then you will use it also in some of the many private services that you use online. It could be your bank, it could be a number of other things where it will be relevant to you. So it's indeed appreciated, not only with the support, but also with the inspiration. And you are perfectly right. This is one of the keys to produce a digital single market for real. I shall come back to the legislation on the digital gatekeepers. But one of the things that we failed to do was to provide European businesses with a real digital single market. If you look at the US giants and you look at the Chinese giants, they all had home markets, big home markets, also more or less one language or few language home markets, and they had access to capital. And now the next chapter of digitization begins, the business-to-business digitization. And here Europe should be in the front because we have an industrial tradition, we have an industrial culture, we are great at entrepreneurship, we're great at engineering. So obviously here, in order for the businesses created in this new chapter of digitization, they should have the benefit of a real digital single market. And here the digital identity is one of the keys, just as well as the access to capital is absolutely crucial. On that note, I'm very happy what Christian Buchmann said about our industrial strategy. We are now in the process of updating it after what we have been learning during the pandemic. And one of the things is indeed to see how can we enable a diversification of supply chain. Because what we saw was that businesses in a supply chain, well, they get extremely vulnerable if one business is out of that supply chain and there is nowhere else to go. That doesn't necessarily mean that all should be produced in Europe, but it means that maybe one should have a broader view as to where things could be produced. I do hope that it will sort of increase the trend that we saw already before COVID, that some businesses take the business decision to reshore part of their production. They create jobs in Europe, maybe not as many as they may have moved 10 or 15 years ago, but since they digitalized and they use much more robotic, it makes a lot of sense for them to have their production much closer by themselves. And these are some of the things that we will look into in this sort of update of our industrial strategy that we are in the process of enabling or nonsense or of implementing. I didn't hear exactly the question of Danuta Jasiewska. Obviously, we are very concerned that it's very difficult for young people to travel, to use their education or to get their education to participate in Erasmus Plus programs. We do hope that it will reemerge because with the strong support also from the European Parliament, we have increased the budget so that many more young people can finalize studies or get a semester or a part of their vocational training abroad. Right now, of course, this is not possible. And I think a lot of that doesn't really make sense to do virtually because part of getting your education somewhere else is that you meet other people, you're in another culture while you're set at the same time learning your trade. On the question of trade relations to third countries, and let me get this on my chest, the question by Karin, it was Ria Omen Reisten who asked about Brexit. I think it's very important to stay very calm and focused in these last parts of the negotiation, because it is really important that we get a level playing field. Of course, I understand and respect that the UK, they want to leave, fair enough. But if you want to have free and equal access to our market, well, then you also have to protect the level playing field. And this is what they are negotiating intensively right now, because this is really important. We are so intertwined with the UK. For 40 years, value chain has been woven together. They're just on the other side of the channel. So obviously, it is really important what happens there when it comes to level playing field in Europe. So this is a very, very high priority for us. And it's very clearly stated in the negotiating mandates that we have from the heads of state of government. So it's absolutely a high priority. And the same goes, but of course, in a different manner when it comes to China and other third countries. I'm very happy with the comments made on the white paper on foreign subsidies, because I think it's really important with this support. We challenge European businesses to compete fair and square. And when there are subsidies given in Europe, these subsidies, they're controlled, they are transparent, they're put in place not to disturb competition. I think it's only fair that we then make sure that the competitors, foreign-owned competitors who compete against European companies, that they are not competing with subsidies in their books. And this is why we want now to try to table legislation to prevent subsidies when a company is acquired, because that can make it very difficult for others to bid with a fair price for a company, or within the single market as such, if a company has foreign subsidies to pick up maybe some of their operating costs, which is one of the things that we consider actually most damaging. The last part, and here we are back and forth because we had a bit more mixed results from the public consultation, is the risk of foreign subsidies in public tendering. Public tendering is, give or take, 15 billion euros market per year. So it's not a detail, it's a lot of money. And here we would want to make sure that European businesses who do not get subsidies are not being outcompeted by businesses who come with subsidies in their books. But this is something that we still have to figure out how to deal with that, so that also in public tendering, we have more fairness. I find that to be absolutely crucial. This is a giant market. Then on digitization and taxation, we are working intensively within the OECD process. It's the enlarged format, so it's 150-something companies who are part of this. We don't know yet what will be the result. Obviously, the US is a very important player here, and they are coming back, I think, into these discussions early next year. If there will be no results of the OECD process, and I think it's obvious it will be the best with a global consensus. Of course, we will do as the president has promised, we will table a European proposal eventually. On the question of protection when it comes to gatekeepers, here we are in the last phase of drafting a proposal, indeed to say, well, if you are sort of in the scope of what we will call a digital gatekeeper, there will be a list of things that you must do and things that you cannot do. For instance, you cannot use your leverage in one market to promote yourself in a neighboring market. And these are things that we have learned from the competition law enforcement. This is a thing that we have seen so many times in the competition law enforcement, now that travels into regulation. And this has happened before. I was the Commissioner of Competition, there was quite a number of cases, I finalized them, about interchange fees. So the fee that you pay when you use your credit card, or the fee that the business will have to pay. And from these cases came regulation. So it's quite a well-known way of doing things. We learn something within competition, then we put this into regulation in order for it to cover everyone. And the point is, of course, not only to sort of frame in the digital giants that we have now, the gatekeepers, to make sure that they keep the gates in a pro-competition manner, but also to have a tool that will allow us to prevent more gatekeepers from arising if we find markets that are prone to establish that kind of gatekeepers to the detriment maybe of other businesses in that market. On Manush Valudaki's question about Turkey, I don't have a recent update on this, but I'd be more than happy to come back on this question. But as I speak, I don't know if we've been looking into this, on this question of a potential violation of state aid rules as a member of a custom union. There's been several questions about European cloud. This is a project first launched by Germany, then with France coming on board on the Gaia X project. Internally, we are working on what would be the add-on for European clouds, because obviously there are cloud providers in Europe, because businesses have their data stored already. One of the things is, of course, to say, well, what kind of quality could be added? Part of that is indeed being tested, as Karen Brown said, on this European data cloud for open science, in order to see, well, how can we enable the scientific community to exchange more with one another and to have more data available. But this is work in progress, and we are not done yet. On the Jean-François Rapin, the questions on mergers, I have answered that. Maybe just one word on speed and antitrust, because it is indeed a problem. Obviously, there will always be a asymmetry in with no other comparison, but if someone breaks into my house, it may take them 5 minutes to get in and get out with some of my valuables. It will take the police quite some time before they find a suspect, before he or she is charged, and before there is a judgment. And of course, that is the way it should be also, because the police, the juridical system, has obligations of due process, and so do we. But that being said, we do what we can in order to limit the time that we are using in order to do our cases. And I was very happy that we could do the first intermediate measures for a very, very long time. And intermediate measures is something that we can use to go in and say, this behavior, we think it's illegal, you stop it right now. Because when that behavior is then stopped, then the harm is also stopped. And then, of course, we can do the casework with all the due process that is indeed needed. But the second thing, and this is also a work in progress, when we take a decision about illegal behavior, there are three different elements. The first one is a fine to fine past illegal behavior. The second is a cease and desist, stop what you're doing. And the third, and this is what is work in progress, is sort of how to recover, how to make the market recover from the harm done. Because it's not sufficient that you can privately sue for damages. What you want is, of course, for companies to have a fair chance of coming back into competition. And this is one of the things that we're still working on, how to make sure, for instance, that the remedy in the Android case actually works, so that some of the search providers who have not been seen by potential customers, that they can actually be seen. Jen, just one last answer on Sergio Battelli's remarks. I'm afraid I really share your analysis that the vaccine will not be the end of the crisis, that this will have long repercussions. And this is exactly why we're so insisting on the recovery and resilience facility. This is why we, within the state aid framework, will do this guidance of no aid, general block exemption regulation, or template, in order to speed things up so that the recovery can begin. One of the things that will help us recover is indeed partnership, And that would be my last remark, because we do have partnerships between companies, researchers, and universities. Because the point is not only research, the point is also for that research to come into industrial deployment, to change the way we live, the way we produce, the way we fight climate change, to enable a change in our economy. And I think it's important that these partnerships get more visibility, because it is important both for the research community and obviously for the businesses who engage. The point is the same. We'll only recover and we'll only give our union and our Europe direction if we work together. And this is one of the reasons why I've been so happy with this exchange. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Vice President, and we appreciate very much this exchange, believe me. And let me say it's like a COSAC forum we established now, like an agora of COSAC, because first it was Michel Barnier, then followed by Didier Reinders. Now we have the honor and the pleasure to continue with you this exchange, and also to announce it now for the colleagues. We are in touch with Mrs. Kyriakides, because, well, health politics will be one of the core issues also in the plenary COSAC, but I think it is worthwhile also to deepen it in an extra meeting, which will take place in the second week of December, only to inform it, but you will get further information within the next days. And I also want to thank very much Domagoj Hajduković and Luis Capula Santos, because we are coordinating it in the Troika, and we have a close contact, and I appreciate very much that we can, dear colleagues, have this constructive dialogue. Now, we are in the time. Thank you very much for the interest this afternoon, and thank you very much once again, Mrs. Vestager. We think it was really, really interesting, and let's continue this dialogue. Perhaps one time by the next COSAC meetings, we will have the opportunity with it. Thank you. Good luck. Stay health to everybody. And then we will see next in the COSAC, and latest on also by Mrs. Kyriakides. Thanks a lot. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Likewise. Stay safe. Have a nice evening.